Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Podcast One presents the Steve Austin Show Classics.
You know what? I've been thinking about switching my workouts up. I'm thinking about kind of going to a three-day-a-week total body workout. Work about, I don't know, four or five sets of body part. Just stick to the compound movements, do one movement per body part. And then, of course, you know, one thing for tries and buys, a squat. Maybe a stiff-legged deadlift. Got to get a couple of calf raises in there, too, for the calves. So I think I'm going to change it up. I'm going to throw a curveball, man. Sometimes I've been kind of stuck in a rut doing this, you know, hitting a body part one time a week. And it's been going okay. But I don't know. I just got started thinking about it. And when I hurt my back deadlifting the other day, I told myself, I said, maybe you don't need to be training this damn heavy anymore. All you need to do is look fit. I'm trying to drop a couple of pounds and get back in shape. So 3 days a week, total body workout. I will keep you posted on my progress. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say this, I ain't talking about going in there and just jumping on a machine and going rapid fire on a bunch of BS. I'm still talking about moving heavy weight or heavy for what I can train at. I ain't going to sit there and do any 20 rep, you know, those kind of BS things or do light work out or try to tone. I'm still going to move heavy iron, but just in relation, cut back on my frequency to the gym rather than training 6 days a week, which is basically what I train now. Back it down. And, you know, if I'm going to work out, say, every other day, total body workout, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, then you would take Saturday and Sunday off. But, dude, because of my mentality, because of the way my brain works, I will not take that Sunday off. I will just work out every other day. So call it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you know, just always alternate your days. Then every now and then on a blue moon, take that 2 day break. But the way I'm wired, if I can get out of the gym a little bit, you know, dedicate a little bit more time to some other things that I've been trying to get working on. Oh, last thing before I start answering these questions, I've been getting a lot of feedback on my email. Hey, man, when can we get some of them T-shirts you've been wearing on the Broken Skull Challenge? They're coming pretty quick to BrokenSkullRanch.com. I'm printing them up right now. Just rebuilt my, my merch part on BSR.com. So just hang in there. That stuff's coming. You know, guys, I don't put too much of a premium on that. I'm just trying to do a podcast, host a reality television show, go down, interview Ken Shamrocks here in Nevada, all that other stuff with them T-shirts are coming to the website ASAP. Hey, man, enough of that rambling. Let's shoot the breeze. Let's set the tone here. Okay, we're riding down in a car. We're starting off in, let's say, where are we going to start off at? Hell. All right, I'll tell you where we're going. We're going to start off in Los Angeles, California. Then we're going to jump in a car. So we're all in a car right now. Everybody's listening to the show. And we're headed down I-10 East towards the Broken Skull Ranch. We got 1,500 miles to drive. We got something to talk about. We ain't going to play the wrestling name game like Tommy Dreamer. We're going to sit here and answer questions that you guys sent in to questions at SteveAustinShow.com. And I appreciate you guys and gals taking the time to send me your questions. With that being said, here we go. Hey, Steve, this is coming from Tad Holbrook over in Fargo, North Dakota. He says, have you ever thrown out a first pitch at a Major League Baseball game? If so, how did it go? Hell, Tad, I've thrown out the first pitch at a couple of Major League Baseball games. I threw one of them right there damn in the dirt. I mean, it bounced before it hit home plate. And I was embarrassed as hell when that happened. But see, the thing about it is, you're in there shooting the breeze with the guys in the dugout, and you never get a chance to warm up or just even play catch with one of the guys. So you go out there and you're cold. And then you think, well, hell, I don't want to screw this thing up, so I don't want to throw too hard. And then you throw one down in the dirt like I did. So the next time I got a chance to throw the ball out at a Major League Baseball game, I can't remember where it was, what the day of the week was. I can't remember what team it was. I was warming up, getting ready, go out there. Sure enough, Stone Cold Steve Austin, they call my name on the damn loudspeakers. I went up there, I reared back, and I hummed one in. They had the radar detectors going. They clocked that pitch at 147 miles per hour. It knocked the catcher backwards about 16 feet. It rolled him, broke his hand. The ball actually busted through the catcher's mitt. It was unbelievable. They called an ambulance to the scene. Turns out he was okay. Luckily, he had his mask on. The ball had actually bent the mask, the catcher's mask that he was wearing. But again, with proper warm-up and technique and years of athletics behind me, I threw a pitch that traveled 147 miles an hour. You can look it up in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's still there as officially the fastest thrown baseball in the history of baseball. So that's my story about throwing out the first pitch. And, okay, that was BS. This is Tall Tale Tuesday. I didn't throw 147 miles an hour. Probably threw 47 miles an hour. Let's go ahead and set the record straight. But to your question, I've thrown out a couple of baseballs at a couple of games, and it's always fun, but you got to warm up before you do it, or you'll throw a piece of crap like I did that one time and embarrass the hell out of yourself. All right, this question is from Krista. Says, do you believe in ghosts and Bigfoot? Hey, Krista, I don't believe in ghosts. I never seen one. I know people out there that believe in them, and they tell me they've either seen one or felt one's presence, blah, 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 or they made a rocking chair move or something like that. Me, myself, I ain't never seen one, and I don't believe in them. Bigfoot, do I believe in Bigfoot? No, I don't believe in Bigfoot either, because no one's ever got a good picture of the damn Bigfoot, and I don't know why that is with all the photography equipment they got these days with surveillance. Someone should have got a big, good picture of Bigfoot. It's like Mitch Hedberg used to say, Bigfoot is blurry. It was not the photographer. Bigfoot is blurry. So, no, I do not believe in Bigfoot. Hey, Steve, tell us what it's like backstage at a WWE TV taping. Is there catering at the arena? Does the WWE brass have an office backstage? Does each WWE superstar have their own dressing room? Does the WWE have their own tanning beds backstage? Man, that's a bunch of questions. You ask the questions, I got the answers. What's it like at a backstage WWE TV taping? It is organized chaos. You know, a lot of people running around. Sometimes if the game plan is coming late, you know, people don't know what they're doing, wondering if they're on, wondering if they're working, don't know whether they're going to crap or wind their watch. So it's always an interesting atmosphere and a competitive atmosphere with everybody on edge, fixing to go to live TV. It's a pretty fun time. WWE superstars, you know, that's what they do for a living. It's what I used to do, and you just kind of take it as it comes. Catering is always there at the building, and they serve lunch, and they'll probably pretty much keep food there all night. And finally, after a certain amount of hours, it kind of will shift to, like, dessert-type foods and lots of coffee. Always coffee, water, and some sodas back there as well. So they take care of you. As far as eating, you're going to eat like a king all day, especially with today's catering. They chicken breast, all kinds of healthy stuff. And they got regular food too, but they eat well at the TV tapings. So the superstars are well fed. Now, does the superstars have their own dressing rooms? Some guys will, some guys won't. For the most part, it's come as you are, and just find your spot, and that's where it is. Every here and there, you know, if The Rock or somebody rolls in, they'll get their own spot because get a little privacy. Swig a beer for the superstar coming into the Monday Night Raw TV taping. Does the WWE have their own tanning beds backstage? You know, I've never seen a tanning bed backstage at a WWE event. What you will see, they'll have the makeup people back there. For some of the people, you know, and you know, whether it's Vince McMahon or Stephanie or someone might use some makeup, or the Divas, obviously. But sometimes they'll be doing some spray tans back there and make the guys look good for television, look good for pay-per-view. And it always seems like looking – it's like like Arn Anderson used to always say. He'd always tell me, Steve, he goes, fat looks better bronze. And he was speaking about himself. Of course, Arn Anderson, the enforcer of the Four Horsemen. But all the guys normally like to look tan on TV. It looks pretty cool. Now, unless you're Sheamus, then you want to be as white as a ghost. And he's got that red hair. He's from Ireland. So that look works for him. And then one more question. After the show, is the wrestler responsible for getting a flight or rental car to the next show? Or does the WWE handle all the travel? Well, yeah, you're responsible for, you know, getting on down to the next town. Now, if you're part of the creative team, or one of the top guys, you might jump on that private jet that they fly, but for the most part, seems like the top guys these days are jumping in their tour buses or getting in their rental cars and heading to the airport or heading down the road to the next town, or some guys would head directly to the hotel room like I would because I preferred traveling during the daytime during my later years. So all the guys got to handle all their stuff, and that's how it works. Here's a question. Here's a question from old Jeff Terry out of Richmond, Virginia. Hey, we know the story of Austin 316, but what is the backstory behind that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so? Well, I've answered that question several times, Jeff. You just wasn't paying attention. Here's how it went down. I won the King in the Ring. The Austin 316 thing came to my mind when Michael P.S. Hayes told me about the promo that Jake had cut while I was at the hospital getting stitched up. So Austin 316 was born. I was already going to use it. I went out there and said it. So as I was sitting there rambling, this was completely ad lib, and Vince was announcing back in the day, I could hear Vince feeding the house with his microphone trying to get to the next match. So I knew I needed to button up the promo that I was conducting. So on the fly, and I've seen some of my earlier promos that I used back in the day, every now and then I would say, and the bottom line is, or and that's the bottom line. So I'd used that before, but this was the first time that I'd used it in this case, specific to the Stone Cold character. I used, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so, purely as a button to end the promo. And that was how and why I came up with that. Had I not heard Vince rambling in the background, trying to get me to move on, who knows if I would have came up with it. And again, I would have never even come up with the Austin 316 gimmick had Michael P.S. Hayes not told me about what Jake the Snake Roberts had said while I was at the hospital getting about 14 stitches in my lip because Mark Merrow had kicked me in the mouth in my first match at Milwaukee at the Mecca Arena in about 1996. And that was a damn good day at the office because there were so many things that had to happen for all of this stuff to go down like it did. But I've told that story so many times before, I will move on. Hey, here's a Broken Skull Challenge question. It says, BS Challenge is awesome. We watched it with the whole family, and we were on the edge of the couch when Ashley was trying to climb that badass rope. Question is, how were the contestants picked? Keep up the audio whoop-ass, George. Hey, George, man, the contestants, when we casted this thing, we shot a pilot, and everybody loved this pilot. And then when we needed the contestants, we sent out information all over the United States to different gyms, CrossFit organizations, Spartan Racers, Tough Mudders. I don't want to single anybody out or leave anybody out, but we just put the word on the street that we were having a badass challenge show, a competition show called the Broken Skull Challenge. And if you are physically fit, if you lift weights, if you are a badass, if you have athletic ability, if you have desire, if you have heart, if you have strength, stamina, guts, intelligence, heart and brains and savvy and all of that, this would be a good place if you love a competition to come out and be challenged. So we put the word on the street, and people sent in the emails and their resumes back. And I believe they did Skype interviews with them. They probably had to do physicals and checkups. But that's how the word on the street was. And now that the show has been two episodes, folks, of Broken Skull Challenge, and it's been a badass experience so far. I've got a lot of valuable feedback on it, and people are really digging it. So now that it's out on CMT every Sunday, this will help increase the awareness and make the competition even better than it is now, because people will start training for this thing. So that's how we casted for the Broken Skull Challenge, and we'll see who comes out of the woodwork from here moving forward, seeing if we get season two. Right now, again, I'm enjoying the hell out of the show, and it's good to be back on TV with CMT, Country Music Television. Man, I done blowed up. Swig of water for the working man. Well, we ain't no damn hurry, man. Slow this sumbitch down. It's okay to say sumbitch on a family-friendly show. I got to have a little bit of vice. Y'all got to work with me on this. Here we go. I'm watching this second hand spin on this clock like a rotisserie chicken. Hey, you know what? Before I answer this next question, y'all know that I had run out of my damn alpha brain about, two or three months ago. Well, I was talking to Teddy Fowler the other day when I was over in Rockport, Texas, and I ate one of his. I finally got off my cheap ass. See, Anna used to send me that stuff for free, but I ran out about 3 months ago, so finally I had Kristen order me some on the damn Amazon link. Of course, I use my own Amazon link to support the show, which kicks back a few ducats to Podcast One, which gives me a couple of centuckets, whatever the lesser of a ducat would be. Nonetheless, I use my own Amazon link to order my alpha brain, and my brain's spinning like this damn second on this damn clock like a rotisserie chicken. Alpha brain is like WD-40 for your brain. It makes you think faster. It makes, if you're smart, it makes you smart faster. If you're dumb, it makes you dumb faster. How does that explain it? It makes you smarter or dumber, depending on what you are. Here we go. On to the next question. Hey, Steve, this is Tavon from Leicester, England. Oh, pronounced Lester. Of course, he had to put that after he made me pronounce it wrong. I'm a big fan of your podcast, and I want to know, did you watch the World Cup? And if so, what did you think about it? Hey, Trayvon, I enjoyed the World Cup. And I enjoyed it so much, I told people a couple of weeks ago I was going to watch it next year. Yeah, so then after I said I was going to watch it next year, I got a bunch of emails saying, hey, dummy, the World Cup is only on once every 4 years. I guess it's kind of like the Olympics. Anyway, I dug it. And, you know, growing up in South Texas, you know, you play football, baseball, and you run track. And sometimes you play basketball. But those are the things that you must do. Ain't no soccer balls in South Texas back in the day. These days, for kids and stuff, I highly recommend soccer. Anytime you can get that kind of damn exertion, exercise, coordination, motor skills, it's one of the best sports you could probably ever play. And so now I'm actually turning into a fan of the sport, because you see how badass these guys and these gals are. The Women's World Cup's about to start, as I understand. So anyway, I got World Cup fever. I'm digging it. It was I never saw the injury that broke the dude from Brazil's back. I heard it was a very vicious thing. They said it wasn't intentional, but when that guy drove his knee into that guy's back and broke his backbone, it had to be intentional. But those guys are busting ass out there, and they're really going for it. So they get carted off the field all the time. So I can really appreciate how physical and demanding that sport is. And me, I'm a pro football and college football guy, so I always thought football is a be-all, end-all. Of course, you know how much of an MMA fan I am. But I'm really, really growing on the sport of soccer, and I enjoyed the World Cup. And Germany ended up winning. Hey, swig of water for Germany winning the World Cup. We're making money up in this mug. I got Mula, our little silver lab, sitting in front of me, and she's got one of the insoles from one of my tennis shoes sticking out of her mouth, and it's folded up like a sandwich, and it makes her look like a little alligator mouth because it's I can't explain it. Hershey, the Wonder Dog's right behind me. Kristen's not at Zumba. I've been informed she's at the grocery store buying some groceries for the working man. Hopefully, when she goes to Gelson's, she will use her $5 coupon. I don't care where we are, what store we are. Anytime we purchase something, my wife has a coupon to save money. Saving ducats up in this mug. You know what I'm talking about? Let's go on to the next question. Hey, quick shout out before I go to the next question to Ted Fowler, the working man down there in South Texas. I know you rattling down the road in that green Chevrolet pickup. Ted Fowler construction trailer right behind you. Man out there building houses and making repairs, installing windows, doing what he does. Swig of water for Cassie, his chocolate lab. And Tula, German short hair, up there getting trained in West Texas. Getting Tula back here pretty quick. Hey, let's keep on talking. I'm rattling about Ted Fowler, yelling on about his dogs. Here we go. Hey, Steve, this is Brad from Chester, England. I got a lot of people listening to England to this show from England. I always wanted to know if it was your idea to introduce the Smoking Skull version of the WWF title. I've always loved that variation of the belt. Brad. Hey, Brad, the Smoking Skull version of the WWF Championship was actually the idea of the one and only Road Warriors. I remember we were sitting down shooting a breeze one day. It was a couple of us. And it might have just been me and Animal and Hawk. And we were talking, and I was really starting to get over at the time, and I was starting to get some crazy pops. And back in the day, and y'all know what I mean when I say pop. That means when your music hits, the crowd goes crazy. They react. That is your pop. Whether it's a good pop or a bad pop, that's what a pop is. How loud the crowd is when your entrance music hits. Now, back in the day, and still to this day, the Road Warriors used to get such good pops. That's currently, if you're talking about wrestling and someone gets a great pop, it was always, oh man, did you hear that? He got a Road Warrior pop. Road Warriors always set the benchmark on the pops because at a certain time they were so over that it was the loudest thing that anybody had ever heard. Now, certainly when Stone Cold got hot, you know, I had Stone Cold pops, but still, it never trumped the Road Warrior pop. To this day, you know, when people are talking about a pop, even if it was me going out, they say that was a Road Warrior pop. Anyway, we were just sitting there talking, and I believe it was Hawk. And I could be wrong on this, but I believe it was Hawk. He goes, you know what you ought to do, Steve? He goes, you ought to come out with your own belt. You ought to have a skull on it because you're Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you ought to have your own championship. And Animal said, yeah. And Animal started elaborating about it. So the idea for the Smoking Skull version of the WWF title was actually born or come up with from the Road Warriors. Animal and Hawk, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, tag team to ever exist in the world of professional wrestling. With that being said, swig a warrior to Hawk. And to Mike, I'd love to have you on the show. Let's move on down the road here. Hey, Steve, was there ever a city you traveled to that you really enjoyed? I know that the wrestlers typically don't get to see very much of the city they travel to, if any at all. Adam, you know, I'll tell you, it's a funny thing about being on the road. You can go to these towns over and over and over again like I did for many years, and all you know is the airport, the way to the gym, the way to the tanning bed, the way to the Denny's, IHOP, or Waffle House, wherever you're eating, a way to the building, and out. You don't know it. And you know the hotel at that local town, but that's all you know about it because you never really got a chance to go out. Now, this I'm speaking for myself because I wasn't a night owl. I didn't go carousing to the strip clubs or the bars or whatever. I went back to the hotel and hit the lounge, and that's where I drank and got my buzz on. I wasn't a guy who went out to a bunch of bars. So I never got a chance to really mess around in any of the towns I went to. Never got a chance to learn about them. Recently, a couple of years ago, I was in New Orleans, and I had a small part in the Expendables. And all the big-name guys were over there shooting their parts out, and I had a lot of time on my hands. My wife flew down to New Orleans, and we went down to the French Quarters because we were basically staying right there as a walk away. And hell, every day we get up, we go get breakfast. I get a workout in. We'd walk around the French Quarter antique shop. I'd stop in a place, get a Bloody Mary, eat a dozen oysters, get a beer, go to the next place. And so walking around New Orleans filming Expendables, I got a chance to really learn what that city was all about and get a chance to go into some of those old dives and the history of that town and all the musical stuff that happened in that town. And I've really come to love New Orleans. Now, I've always loved working there, and I've always loved, there's one restaurant that I always go to every time I go to New Orleans, but I didn't know anything about the city. So now New Orleans is one of my favorite places to go. And also the city of Boston. Back in the day, we fly into the airport there in Boston, and you go through the tunnel, and you go to, God dang, what's the name of the building there in Boston? Fleet Center. You fly into Logan Airport, you go through the tunnel, and there was when they had the big dig going on. Everything was under construction. So you fly into Logan, get your rental car, and go through the tunnel, go to the Fleet Center. I never knew anything about Boston because I went straight back to the hotel and had some beers, and then we got out of Dodge. Well, when I did Grown Ups 2, I got a chance to spend some time in that city and to see how beautiful of a place that is. And, of course, how much history is in Boston. A bunch. So to see the vibe of that city, to mess around and go to a couple of places and get to see the people. And, of course, you know how good sports are coming out of the Boston area with everything they've got going on over there. It's a great place for sports, and it's always a great place to wrestle. Boston loves their wrestling. Hell, I won my first title, WrestleMania 14, World Heavyweight Championship from Shawn Michaels there with Mike Tyson as a referee, but never knew it as a city. After getting a chance to spend time there, that was another city that I really grew to like. And, of course, Chicago was always high on my list. It was a town that I liked to go around in. It seemed like I always did a lot of media over there for some reason. And that's my favorite building to work at, the Chicago Rosemount Horizon. And I always loved the architecture and the layout of that city. So those are three. But to your point or to your question, those are the ones that I really grew to enjoy. But the thing is, you really don't get a chance to see much of the city because you're in and you're out. There, one night stands, and that's on to the next one. Hey, I'm coming right back. I'm going to hit a little pause button. So my sponsor's going to come in. I'm going to read a little spot. Pay attention. Listen to what my sponsor's got to say. They're the people to keep this show on the air for free. I'm coming right back with lots more Q&As, and I got some good ones coming down the road. Hell yeah.
You're listening to another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show, only on Podcast One.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
The Steve Austin Show.
The Steve Austin Show.
Oh, hang on for a second. We got another Broken Skull Challenge question here from Phil. Hey, Steve, I'd love it if you'd talk a little bit more about the Broken Skull Challenge. In particular, what's going on with these folks who cannot climb the rope at the end? Between that and the commando crawl, they don't seem to want to use a good or healthy technique. Is it exhaustion or technique that's stopping these folks from completing the course? You know, that's a real good question. And, you know, with that commando crawl placed where it is in the Skull Buster, and then with the 17-foot vertical climb the rope burn at the very end after you've gone up through Heartbreak Hill and you're still a little bit wet from the deep freeze, you know, there was clearly a lack of technique from Jason and Ashley. Now, they had a ton of heart, and they had a ton of want to, and they tried their asses off. But they, I don't think, when I'm, you know, seeing what I saw, don't think they had a whole lot of experience climbing that rope. Now, here's the thing. You can have great technique, but when you've had 9 badass obstacles thrown at you and you're totally winded, it's a whole different ballgame and a whole different animal. So we'll see if anybody does indeed get up that rope. But I think that Jason and Ashley did not have a ton of rope climbing experience. And at least that's what it looked like to me. And they tried, but they could not beat that Skull Buster. We'll see if anybody could. Oh, man. Here's a question. I'm blowing. Hey, swing of water for the damn podcast, man. Hey, Steve, why did you not wear knee pads during your WCW run? What are the advantages / disadvantages of knee and elbow pads? Well, I'll tell you one thing. It was a conscious decision. I guess that's the word I would want to use. I made a decision just to stop wearing knee pads because I figured I was going to take it back a little bit old school. And I didn't need the knee pads. I was going to be tough to this day. Every time I talk to my buddy Kevin Nash, and I talked to him about 30 minutes ago on the telephone, we'll start talking about injuries and stuff like that, and he'll always go tell a story about me jumping off the top turnbuckle, doing a splash on somebody who's laying in the middle of the ring, not having knee pads on, in front of about, I don't know, 75 people, you know, when times were kind of lean. But I guess I would just hang on. Moolah barking in the background trying to protect me from criminals. It was a decision I made to go back old school, and now I didn't really get any knee injuries from not wearing those knee pads, but I obviously banged up my knees a lot. And elbow pads, most guys don't wear elbow pads. When I tore my tricep off my arm and had my tricep reattached, I wore an elbow pad for a while. And also what will happen with elbows is when you first get into business and you're not taking the right bumps or just an accident will happen, you'll bang your elbows on that mat and you'll bust that bursa sac in your elbow and your elbow will swell up and it'll look like you've got a tennis ball. Exactly looks like a tennis ball on the end of your elbow. And sometimes guys will wear, you know, an elbow pad until that goes away. And guys would always say, hey, the way to cure that is just to bang your elbow back on a wall just to try to break that fluid out of there. So there are so damn many stories about guys with bursa sacs and tennis ball-looking elbows. And I had that tennis ball. You can go back to some of my old TV matches in WCW and see that thing. But it was absolutely ridiculous. It was just an old-school thing that I did. When I think back about it, I would tell everybody to wear knee pads. Let's go on down the road. Hey, Steve, I'd like to hear your memories of working with Muda, and if you recall wrestling him any other times besides Spring Stampede 94. Aaron from Illinois. Man, I wrestled Muda a couple times. I wrestled him over in Japan. You know, I wrestled him, obviously, this match you're talking about. I always enjoyed working with Muda. Man, that guy was a very special talent, and I wish I would have got to wrestle Muda when I was in total Stone Cold Steve Austin mode rather than the Stunning Steve mode. I enjoyed those matches, loved working with him. He's one of those once-in-a-generation type talents, and just the way he moves. I tried to show you guys a match. For my match of the week, I actually picked Great Kabuki versus Great Muta, and I watched this match about five times. And you talk about working in slow motion and taking their time. I don't think there was a quote-unquote high spot in the match. So when I decided to use that as my match of the week a couple of weeks ago, when I went back to YouTube, I could not find the match. I searched the entire internet so I could give you guys the link for it on YouTube, and then went to Daily Motion. I went to a lot of things, but I could never find the match again because it was removed. But if you ever get a chance to watch Great Muta versus Great Kabuki, watch that match. It's a badass match. Here we go. Hey, Steve, I'm spending several weeks working in and around your old stomping grounds in South Texas, Edna, Wharton, and El Campo. Do you have any suggestions for where I should eat other than Sonic? Jim, if you've got a Sonic in Edna, Wharton, and El Campo, why would you want to eat anywhere else? I could eat a Sonic double jalapeno burger with cheese three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if I got hungry, I could eat four because I'd call out with a snack. Hey, man, to answer your question, they're in Edna for Mexican food. My mom and dad like the Pinto Bean. It used to be the old Dairy Queen. It's right there on Business 59 as you drive through town. In regards to Wharton and El Campo, it's been such a long time since I've been through those areas. Of course, you know, I went to junior college in Morton, El Campo. You got Praisex Hill G Smokehouse there on the side of the road. Get you a link of sausage. But as far as restaurants in those areas, I could not tell you where to go. But good luck to you. Put your seatbelt on coming in from Dallas, Texas. Here we go. Hey, Steve, I'm a hunter, but I don't use guns or bows. I use voice recorders, cameras, and EMF meters. I'm a ghost hunter slash paranormal investigator. I've been listening to all your past podcasts while I'm busy being a working man, and I just listened to the one that was a Q&A where you said you didn't believe in ghosts. Well, I guess I've already answered that question, folks. Well, I'm not going to talk you into believing, but I would love to take you sometime and maybe show you some of the things that go bump in the night. When would that ever be possible? P.S. Central Pennsylvania is a great place to go deer hunting as well as ghost hunting. Chris from Tyrone, Pennsylvania. Man, Chris, swig of water. Hang on. Swig of water for the paranormal, man. Dude, okay, here's the deal. And you sent me some pictures. Now, these pictures you sent me to questionstevaustinshow.com are kind of unclear. You send me some better pictures of these ghosts, and maybe I'll start believing in them. But I ain't going ghost hunting in Tyrone, Pennsylvania. I ain't going ghost hunting in Edna, Texas. I ain't going ghost hunting in Los Angeles, California. But if you send me a video of one of these damn ghosts that you see, maybe you could convince me. But until that time, I do not believe in ghosts. And I can't believe that I've answered that question more than once on this podcast. Hell, for that matter, I've probably been hit in the head with so many damn steel chairs that I probably answered every question I've answered for you a couple of times. But y'all just bear with me. Hey, man, that's an interesting question coming from Sam over there in Kentucky. He says, Steve, I think it's an unwritten rule. You don't take a dump in an RV. So when you're going down the road and all bets are off, do you hit up a truck stop or drop the deuce in the RV? See, Sam, that's the whole reason you got a RV, so you ain't got to use the facilities in a dirty-ass truck stop. With all due respect to truck drivers all around the world, working men and women trying to pay their bills and get in the mailbox. But, dude, man, in a gas station truck stop, regardless. Man, I'm picky about where I take a dump. I'm going to use my RV can because that's what it's for. That's why I bought that RV, so I ain't got to do nothing. I can go to the gas pump, put gas in my RV, do my business, eat my own food, cook all my own meals, drink my own beer, make my own protein shake, pull out my barbecue pit, fire that thing up, put my steak on there, and I ain't got to mess with nobody doing nothing but my own thing. So, yeah, I take a dump in my RV, and when I get to the campground, I got my hose out. Now, on this new little RV I got, I done told y'all, that's the same little bitty ass sewer hose I told y'all about 6 months ago on our maiden voyage coming back, and it was colder than hell, and I had to stretch that thing out by hand and hold it down in a hole because it's that dang short. Anyway, dude, that's what you get an RV for. Go on down the road. Here we go. Hey, Steve. Love the podcast. On your DVD, you mentioned the WWF sent you possible names to use when you wanted to stop being a ringmaster. I believe the names, now there was a bunch of them, but three that you mentioned were Otto von Ruthless, Fang McFrost, and Ice Dagger. If Vince would have insisted you use one of them, which one would you have chosen? I think Otto von Ruthless would have been cool. Like to hear your thoughts. Jeff from Canada. Hey, Jeff over in Canada. A lot of a swig of water. Here goes. For the listeners up there in Canada. Man, I tell you what, man. I'm thinking about merchandise. Otto von Ruthless. Fang McFrost. Ice Dagger. Dude, those are also goddamn bogus. I don't know what. I think I probably would have just... No, you know what? Fang McFrost is just so corny. And that's one I was about to pick. And Ice Dagger, I mean, there's almost just nothing behind that one either. Otto von Ruthless kind of reminds me of a little bit almost Baron von Raschke-ish, but maybe you're right. I was leaning toward Fang McFrost. You might have just talked me into Otto von Ruthless, just like Dutch Mantell talked me into Steve Austin when I could not be Steve Williams back in my Memphis, Tennessee debut. Later to become Stunning Steve Austin. Jeff from Canada. Otto von Ruthless would be the name. Hey, Steve, of all the movies you film, which one did you enjoy doing the most? Keith. I think the one I enjoyed doing the most was probably The Condemned. I enjoyed that. It was, you know, kind of an ensemble type cast. We had a bigger budget. We had more time to rehearse things, and production value was a little bit higher. The accommodations were top notch. You know, we shot that movie, I think it had about a $20 million budget on that thing. So that was one of my favorite ones. And I think it was in my first movie, actually, other than, you know, The Longest Yard, which was a Sandler movie. And I always enjoyed any movie I did with Sandler. But other than that, I think Hunt to Kill would have been my next favorite movie. And I know that the next movie that I decide to sign up for, and I've been turning down a lot of things lately because I just don't want to do what I don't want to do and will not do what I don't want to do. It's going to be a straight up, almost a stone cold Steve Austin type movie slash role. I ain't going to be anybody else other than what I am. I'm not Daniel Day-Lewis. It's taken me several years to realize that. Well, I realized that a long time ago, but it's also taken countless emails that I get into questions at steveaustinshow.com. Y'all don't want me to be Daniel Day-Lewis. You want me to just go out there and beat somebody's ass, and I'm down with that. So if the right role comes along and it's down that road, I'll do it. But that's my thoughts. Condemned and Hunt to Kill. Because when I hunt to kill. Y'all know what I'm saying? Hey, check it out. Steve, had the infamous SummerSlam incident never occurred, would you still be in ring wrestling today? Now, I know I've answered this a million times. So, Jordan, yeah, I'd probably, I'm 49. I probably would have hung it up a year or two ago. But, yeah, I would have made it further down the road than I did. I'm going to move right on from that one because I probably beaten a dead horse doing this show for the working man. Hey, I'm coming right back. I'm going to hit a little pause button. So my sponsor's going to come in. I'm going to read a little spot. Pay attention. Listen to what my sponsor's got to say. They're the people to keep this show on the air for free. I'm coming right back with lots more Q&As, and I got some good ones.
You're listening to another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show, only on Podcast One.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
All right, coming right back in, ask a couple more questions. Here we go. Hey, Steve, of all the stunners you gave throughout your career, falling butt first onto the ring, have you ever suffered a broken tailbone? If not, what is the weirdest injury you've ever suffered in your career? Love the podcast, JP in Ohio. How about them Buckeyes? Let's talk about falling onto your butt night after night in a squared circle. It's a hell of a damn way to make a living, I'll tell you that much. Anytime you get to go out on live TV and ring up a bunch of wrestlers with a Stone Cold Stunner, it's a good day at the office. But the fact is, a couple of times in my career, just like anybody else, your lower back is going to get all jacked up and jammed up, and it's just going to be, it's going to hurt, and it's literally going to be the pain in the ass, whether it's just right there in your tailbone area, or you got the sciatica running down the side of your leg. But many times, there were days where I didn't want to, I just straight up, on a Monday Night Raw, I would find out what I was going to do. Now, I would never, ever refuse to Stone Cold Stun anybody. But there's several times where my back was in so much pain, I really didn't want to, but I did. And then, of course, you know, when I got dropped on that table in Jersey at Meadowlands and broke those three bones in my back, of course, I couldn't stun anybody then. That's why we started doing all that comedy stuff backstage. But through different parts of different guys' careers, depending on what their finish entailed, you know, you either could do it or you couldn't do it. And that's why I've always liked a very simple move that you can do to anybody at any time. And, you know, even specifically yourself, do your own move. And for the most part, the stunner was doable. And sometimes When you feel like hell, you feel like hell, and just got to suck it up and go. Anyway, let's get on to that for my thing. Hey, Steve, what is your favorite finishing move besides yours in wrestling? Coming from Cashin. Cashin, my favorite finishing move, other than the Stone Cold Stunner, was a DDT by Jacob Snake Roberts. End of story. Bottom line, end of show. Well, it's not the end of the show. Hey, here's one from Arjun in Derby in the UK. Hey, Steve, big fan of the show. I just wanted to know, what exactly is a white meat babyface? A white meat babyface is a babyface that just has all the great qualities that just make him a wholesome human being. He's good looking. He's got a good physique. He's plays by the rules. He has an endearing quality about him. You just want to like him. White meat. You have no reason to hate this guy. He's just so good, so pure. He's a white meat babyface. Now, that's just the way people would perceive him as. A couple of instant white meat babyfaces that would come to my mind would be Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Good-looking guy, good physique, great work, but everything about Ricky, he was just a true competitor and never broke the rules, but he was a white meat babyface. Shane Douglas, early on in his career as a babyface, was a prime example of a white meat babyface. Good-looking guy, good physique, could work his ass off, sell like a sumbitch. Those are two guys who would be pure white meat babyface. Of course, now Shane would go on to be a really vicious heel and a great promo guy as a heel, but when he first broke into business, white meat as a babyface. That's what I mean. And I could probably think of more examples of white meat babyfaces if I had more time, but right now I'm moving down the road. Okay, here we go. Cassandra. I just tweeted her a while ago. She sent in this question. Here it goes. Hey, Steve, love your podcast. With Raw being 3 hours, why aren't the divas getting more time to develop their characters and interesting storylines? I feel like the WWE has a great group of women for the most part, but they're not showcasing their talent to the fullest. I miss the kick-ass days of Trish, Lita, Molly Holly, Victoria, etc. Well, Cassandra, I don't know why the divas aren't getting more time to develop their characters or their storylines, but when you're talking about Trish, Lita, Molly Holly, and Victoria, you know, you got two Hall of Famers there, and Victoria was awesome in the ring, as was Molly Holly. Molly Holly was a great worker, and like I said, so was Victoria. So you have four very strong women that you just mentioned. There's going to be another question that comes up again regarding the divas, so I don't know why, Cassandra. But I just read your email so that if anybody from WWE hears this, they will know that the divas and their storylines are in demand. Hey, here we go. Here's a few questions. Now that the UFC have signed Holly Holm, when do you think we'll get to see her challenge Ronda Rousey, and do you think Holly can dethrone the champ? I tell you what, and this is DT. Hey, David, what's happening? DT _Hammer on Twitter. A lot of good questions here. You know, I watched Holly Holm. I like her stand-up game. Obviously, she comes from the world of boxing. She throws those leg kicks. I see Ronda timing those leg kicks, trapping that leg, taking her down. I think Ronda's so much stronger right now. I think she'd, I don't want to say manhandle, she'd womanhandle Holly Holm at this point, but Holly, obviously, a very good striker, but, man, Ronda Rousey's hands have improved so much. It's incredible, and she's so tough, and she's so mean inside the octagon. That's going to be a great matchup. Ronda Rousey herself has said that she'd like to fight Holly Holm at the correct time. So I think Holly's got a few fights in front of her to get to that level, and hopefully she'll wade through the competition so that match happens. I will be watching. I will have my $54.95 in hand, whatever, you know, a UFC pay-per-view costs. I get them all the time. So I think it's a fight that will definitely happen. Holly Holm is obviously, I think she's going to be really, really good. I just think that her lack of a ground game right now is her weakness. And that's, you know, as Ronda is not like a jiu-jitsu type person, that judo background, and she's so physical and strong. When she throws someone down, slaps on that arm bar, or just goes to town like she did with Alexis Davis last month, it's incredible. So she's got a ways to go before she gets there, but it'll be a great fight when she does. Hey, there's a lot of rumors running that Brock Lesnar will win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam and hold it all the way until WrestleMania 31. Do you think that'd be best for business? Well, you know, I'd love to see Brock have the belt. And so I don't even know who has it right now. I haven't been watching Monday Night Raw. And so that I think you're thinking that then Roman Reigns would fight him at WrestleMania 31, and then Roman Reigns would win and become the number one babyface in the company. So regardless whether Brock Lesnar gets the belt at SummerSlam and loses it or keeps it at WrestleMania 31, I do think that's best for business because he's the baddest dude they got there. So, and it's not like he's had his hands on the belt for an extended period of time recently. So why not? 3, do you think we'll ever see CM Punk back in a WWE ring someday? I do not know. 4, what do you make of WWE's acquisition of Kenta? Do you think he can be a big star at WWE? Man, Kenta Kobashi's almost, I think he is 47 years old. It could be off by a year or two. Hell of a damn worker. Just depends on how they use him in the United States. And will an American audience get behind him and his style, what he does? Man, that guy's a hell of a damn worker. That goes without saying. Will he get over in the United States? How will he be used? I do not know that, but we will see. Now, finally, DT. Man, you long-winded bastard. You send a lot of questions. I appreciate it. Do you think TNA should stick to a four-sided ring or switch back to a six-sided ring? Personally, I prefer the four-sided ring, DT says. I agree. The four-sided ring is the ring for pro wrestling. That six-sided thing, pack it up. Put it in the closet or throw it away. Use it for scrap iron. I don't dig the six-sided ring at all. I'm traditional when it comes to pro wrestling. Four-sided ring. DT, I appreciate you sending in the questions. All right, here's one coming from old Daryl Chapman over in North Carolina. Hey, Daryl. See you on Twitter all the time. Steve, what's up? Longtime fan listener. I was curious about your protein and oatmeal shake. I've heard you mention a couple of times when you may be pushed for time and still want to get your protein and carbs in. As a working man who also trains 3 or more days a week, I was wondering if you could share that with us. Hey, man, Daryl, yeah, easy. All you do is get one of them shaker bottles, and I'll put in, I use whatever, Dynamax, whatever the damn protein I use. 2 scoops is 60 grams of protein. So I put in 2 scoops, got 60 grams of whey protein. I like whey. I'm not into the casein thing. And then I'll get a cup of 1 Minute Oats. Or even better than that, I'll get a cup of oat bran, which is basically like cream of wheat, except it's oats. So anyway, a cup of that. And so then you got about, I think that's about 50 carbs. So you got 60 grams of protein, 50 grams of carbs, shake it up a little bit. Let it sit for about, if you're using just those 1 Minute Oats, let it sit for 5 minutes. It'll soften them oats and you can swallow them easier. And it's about the easiest way I know to get a quick meal in if you're on the go and in a hurry. And that's what I do. Just had one today. Here we go. Hey, Steve, great show. I was just wondering if you ever accidentally or purposely kick someone in the balls during a stunner kick. From Kane over in Aspatria, England. I don't know where in the hell Aspatria, England is, but I'll answer your question right now. There's many times that I couldn't get that kick up high enough to the waistline, especially depending on how heavy I was in the ring and if I was wearing jeans or shorts or not, which decreased my range of motion. But I kicked Vince in the balls on a damn nightly occasion, and I got to give that guy credit. He's got to be one of the toughest human beings in the world. Because I kicked him so many times, and he never, ever once complained. And I know I rang his ass up plenty of times. So, yep, it frequently happened, and that's the way it was. And if anybody ever said something, I always apologize. But it was never, ever done intentionally. Sometimes I wasn't the most graceful cat in the ring to work with. All right, here we go. Let's go on down the road. Lucas from Indiana. Says, hey, Steve, I was thinking about this a little bit. I want to get your thoughts. How interested would you be and how good do you think a Ric Flair in his prime versus John Cena feud plus a series of matches be? Well, when you look back at Ric Flair in his prime, you know, one of the greatest workers of all time, and John Cena damn near still in his prime right now, I think it would have been a great feud. You know, Ric Flair had great matches with everybody that he worked with, and you know, I go back to, you know, his classic, you know, feuds with, you know, Sting and Luger. And then, you know, of course, Steamboat and, you know, Funk. Seeing what he would do with John Cena's moveset, with John Cena's persona, how John Cena conducts his business inside that squared circle. It would have been a great program and series of matches. Ric Flair, arguably the greatest of all time, my favorite pro wrestler of all time. So, yeah, I would have enjoyed seeing that. And like I've said many times, I would have enjoyed being in a program when Flair was in his prime and I was in my prime, not some of the matches we had back in the day. All right, here we go. Here's a tough question from Jeremy. Oh, Jeremy says, hey, Steve, how would you have handled the Montreal screw job if you were in Shawn Michaels' position? Man sitting here on this table right here, talking to my little microphone, watching his second hand spin around like a rotisserie chicken. I don't know how I would have handled that back in the day. It's only speculation. I know Shawn Michaels did what Shawn Michaels had to do. I'm sure at the time, whatever happened, Steve Austin would have done what Steve Austin had to do. And sitting here talking to you right now, I really do not know. You would have to present that to me on the day or a week in advance, however that wouldn't happen, so I could give you an actual answer. But to sit here and speculate, that was a tough moment and a tough time and a tough situation. And so they did what they had to do. Very, very interesting scenario, though. Hey, Steve, this is coming from Jason over in Brookville, Indiana. I'm just curious if you ever crossed paths with Nikita Koloff. I've always been a huge mark for the guy and was wondering your thoughts on the Russian nightmare. Keep up the great work. Jason, man, I used to travel to a couple of towns with Nikita Koloff and Black Bart, and we usually end up in like a Motel 6 or an Econo Lodge, and Black Bart would put his back in the corner of the room at a table and put his styrofoam cup on the table and spit in it, and because he was chewing Skoll or Copenhagen, and Nikita would always imitate him and act like he had some Skoll in his mouth and spit in the cup, and Black Bart wore glasses, so he'd act like he had a pair of glasses on, and he'd keep pushing his glasses up on his nose. I loved Nikita Koloff back when he first came out, man. It was, that was back when you thought the Russians were really real Russians. Him and Ivan, I thought they made a great tag team. And I love what Nikita did with the Russian sickle and his moveset. And, of course, when he was in the gym and training heavy, of course, he looked like $1 million too. And so, but anyway, he was a super nice guy. And I learned a lot from traveling with Nikita. And I certainly learned how to save money by traveling with Nikita as well. He was very frugal and thrifty with his money and always willing to give advice. And he was a soft-spoken guy who was a real gentleman on the road. So I enjoyed crossing paths with Nikita Koloff and shared a couple of road trips with the guy. Hey, man, here's another one of them guys that sent in like four questions. Hey, Stone Cold, huge fan. I started listening to your podcast because my friends won't stop talking about how amazing you and your guests are. I'm on my 8th podcast in about 3 days, and they just get better and better. I got 4 gimmicks for you. You can answer all or ones that you would like. 1, I found an old VHS copy of Hell Yeah, in which you're hauling ass going 90-plus on the highway, drinking beer, answering questions. Do you always drive that rad? And if you do get pulled over, how do you hide that son of a bitch? He's talking about the beer cans. Now, let's go back to the video he's talking about, Hell Yeah. That was filmed in the late 90s, and we were on a run down there in Florida. So when we started filming that, we had just left a Monday Night Raw television taping, and we had about a 250-mile drive to go. And so I think it was Michael Cole in the back seat asking me those questions. A camera guy sitting in the back had a guy with a light sitting beside me shining the light on me, or everybody was in the back seat, however it worked, and we were drinking cold beer. Now, I'm telling you this straight up, this is how it was back in the day, but do I normally drive that rad? No, I've slowed down and I don't drink and drive at all anymore. That wasn't an everyday occurrence on the road, but I'm not going to lie about it. You can see what we was doing in that video. We was drinking beer and making the Hell Yeah video. 2, I was wondering if you think JR will return to announce ever again for an old school Raw. I highly doubt it. 3, do you think El Generico will work in WWE with the gimmick he's working with now, or will they change him into a horrible screw-up like some of the other gimmicks? I think they're going to take care of Generico. I think the kid can damn sure work. He's got some charisma, and so they need to take care of his ass. And will Kane ever ditch that mask he wears and go back to the corporate Kane where he's wrestling in corporate gear, or first Kane mask at least, and not that welder's mask he's wearing before? So you don't like the welder's mask, obviously. I haven't seen the show, so I can't answer that question. And I appreciate you sending in those questions. That was from JB and JS. Appreciate the questions. And let me answer a couple more here. All right, here we go. Coming from New York City, James Haggerty. Hey, Steve, my birthday is this Saturday, July 19th, and my wife is taking me to a Mexican restaurant. I know you're a big Mexican Cajun food guy, so do you have any recommendations on what to order? You damn right I do. Now, here's what I would order, because I order the same thing every time I eat Mexican food. 3 beef enchiladas with extra onions, rice and beans, and then 3 crispy beef tacos. That's what I eat every single time I eat Mexican food. And before you eat, you're going to eat chips and salsa, and maybe get you some queso dip and some guacamole before as an appetizer. And while you're there, you might as well have a margarita made probably with Don Julio Reposado with an extra shot on the side so that you can add that in at your own leisure, because they probably will not put enough tequila in your drink. If you do, take my advice on the margarita. Make sure your wife is a designated driver so the birthday boy can get his buzz on and go home safely. All right, everybody, I want to say thank you very much for taking the time to send your questions to questions@steveaustinshow.com. I always appreciate you guys helping me crank out a show. And I've been meaning to get down to the studio so we can start taking a few more calls. Been talking to Stacy about that. My schedule's been so jammed up. The studio's been so booked up down at Podcast One in Beverly Hills. We're talking about working a couple of nights in the next few weeks to start taking those calls. So anyway, trying to get some podcasts done for the working man. I always enjoy talking to people and doing my interviews. Like I said, I'm fixing to go talk to Ken Shamrock and the founder of Sierra Nevada Beer. I'm looking forward to doing that, but sometimes I just like shooting the breeze and answering questions. But I also want to get back to taking some calls and picking y'all's brains and see what's going on in y'all's world and in your head, and just doing that. But anyway, it is what it is. I'm about to close this whole shenanigan down. Once again, don't forget to check out Broken Skull Challenge this Sunday. I'm not going to beat that thing like a dead horse. There's parts of it over in different parts of the world that can't even get the show. So anyway, enough about that, but it's badass. Now, for my match of the week, here we go. Get ready for this. On a match of the week, this is a tag match. This is a tag team match that happened in All Japan Pro Wrestling on December 5th in 1980. So what you're going to do to find match of the week is go to YouTube, and in the search bar, type in Billy Robinson and Les Thornton and Nick Bockwinkel and Jim Brunzel dash in parentheses AJPW 12/05/80. Billy Robinson and Les Thornton versus Nick Bockwinkel and Jim Brunzel dash All Japan Pro Wrestling 12/05/80. It's a hell of a damn match. And then you don't have two real established tag teams working with each other and really cutting off the ring like, you know, the Andersons were so good at, or like Ricky and Robert as the Rock and Roll Express, or, you know, bringing in the Midnight Express talking about great tag teams. But you just had four badass workers in there, and they're working in Japan. And listen to the crowd. Now, you know, when you go over and you're used to working in the States, now all these guys worked all over the world, but Japan's a different crowd. Now, the commentary on this, because it's all Japan, is in Japanese. So if you don't speak Japanese, you might as well just, unless you want to listen to the crowd, you can turn the volume down low. It's kind of distracting for me. I've watched the match about 5 times, and I enjoyed listening to it for the first few because I wanted to hear what the crowd was. But then I just started turning it to mute because I'd already seen it enough and heard it enough that I didn't want to listen to any more language that I could not understand. But it's a hell of a match, a lot of hard work. There's a blown spot here or there. But I just like this watch because of the workmanship that went into this match. If you look at what these guys are doing in the ring, it's all very believable. It's credible. They're not looking to the crowd. They're not playing to the crowd. It's all about the work inside those ropes. And for the most part, I think they keep the entire match in the ring, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just a lot of work with no gimmicks, without any chairs, nothing. They're doing work in the ring, and they're working a crowd. that's just traditional Japanese pro wrestling. So that's why I like this match so much. The time on the match is 43 minutes and 37 seconds. So anyway, it was just a great match. Four guys working hard over in Japan. Date, All Japan Pro Wrestling, December 5th, 1980. And with that being said, now that we have our match of the day, it's time for me to tell you thank you for supporting the show. And in regards to this coming show on Thursday, Steve Austin Show Unleashed, do not miss part two of my sit-down conversation with the hardcore legend, Tommy Dreamer. He's coming up this Thursday. We get into the reasons why he left WWE and how that all went down with Vince. We're going to talk about the Innovator of Violence and how that started, if he has any regrets about his career. And we've got a few more wild stories from Tommy's ECW days. So all that's in Thursday's Unleashed show. And as you guys have heard on the first go-around with Tommy, if anybody can tell a story and put some color on it, it is him. He's a natural on the microphone. I want to say thank you for hitting the download button. Guys, enjoy the show. Tell a couple of people about it. Tell them to tell a couple of people about it and to help spread the word on this show.
Thank you for joining us for another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends. For more Steve Austin Show, go to podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night! And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink. We play games. We have the song of the week. We have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Big Brother Jake, a.k.a. Jake Warner.
My government name.
Check it out. I host a show called the Big Brother Jake Podcast, and I've taken my talents to the biggest and baddest platform on the planet. That's right, baby. Podcast One. My show is unique as I talk about everything. Life, sports, entertainment, being a single dad juggling several jobs. I'm a hot mess, but it's damn entertaining. Subscribe and review now on Apple Podcasts and listen on Podcast One or wherever you get your podcasts.